Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
To Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Well, I don't even believe it, but we've finally gotten together. He is here. The chief of the Catawba Indian Nation, Mr. Bill Harris, and this guy is one busy dude, and he has got his hands full now, and I can't thank you enough for being here, Bill, and carving out a few minutes to be here.
Well, man, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm sorry it's taken me so long to get back to you, but I am glad to be here.
All right, so we need to start with some basics.
Okay.
Tell everybody a little bit about you.
Let me see, a little bit about me. I was born October 5th, 1953. You can do the math, and I'll tell you how old I am. What drove me to politics? Gosh, I cannot believe I'm actually considered a politician, but the year is 2021, and I am a politician. I found that there was value in serving the community, so that was what drove me into the politics. I was elected chief in 2011. I faced a re-election and another re-election, but my term is coming to an end. So
your term is coming to an end.
I have 2 years left, and I won't be running again. I say this because everybody says, no, Bill, you really need to. And my first thought is, well, let me say this. With all that's coming with the nation, you're going to need somebody younger and smarter than me. So I think that, you know, the nation really does need to elect that young mind that is going to be prepared for what's coming.
Well, my only suggestion to you, Chief, would be you better find that young mind right now and start grooming them, because what you're going through now, that person needs to really understand.
Yes, and I agree with you. There does need to be for people to actually say, okay, I understand what's coming, and I want to be prepared for it.
All right.
Of course, it is coming.
We've had, since you and I have last seen each other, probably 50,000 new people come to York County. And there's too many people that have no idea about the history of the Catawba Indian Nation in York County. I told you before, we only have a half hour on this show, so I've asked you to try to do a Cliff Notes version, because I think it's important for people to understand the significance of the Catawbas and York and their role in York County's history and the impact that you are soon to have. Go right ahead. The floor is yours.
Okay, Manny, thank you. This is where I'm going to start with. Catawba is a 6,000-plus-year-old civilization. So when you talk about civilizations, we've been here for quite a while. So when people say, well, they were only discovered, well, you can't discover something that was that old. So I always say this about Columbus. He was actually on his way to India. He got lost. And ran into a landmass separating what is now called North and South America. So he was lost. We were already there. So we discovered him. He didn't discover us.
I like that.
So when you look at what was the significance of Catawba, especially to the young colonies, we were a friend to the colonists. And this is one I always say proudly, as the colonists became disgruntled with being under the rule of England, and they decided that they were going to rebel. There were three tribes that actually stood side by side with them in that rebellion, and Catawba was one of them. So from the time the colonists first made their declaration of, I wish to live free, Catawba shed their own blood for them to achieve that.
Interesting. Very interesting.
So when people talk about Catawba being a South Carolina tribe, well, let's just talk about that for just a minute.
Yeah.
Because long before there was ever a South Carolina, there was a Carolina. And the reason you have a North and South Carolina is because those who lived in the north side of the Carolinas and those who lived in the south of the Carolinas could not get along. So they created the division that is now called North and South Carolina. Prior to that, it was the Aboriginal lands of the Catawba Indian Nation. So we are not a South Carolina tribe. We are a Southeast tribe because our Aboriginal landmass was 3/4 of South Carolina, half of North Carolina, and into Southern Virginia. So we were a massive tribe with our landmass. And we were a power to reckon with. But smallpox actually diminished the power of the Catawba Nation. So that was where the when we lost, when smallpox hit us twice in 20 years, is where we lost our strengths.
Do you have any ideas how many tribal members were?
If you look at what history has recorded, let's just play with the number 25,000. So in the first smallpox epidemic, half were lost. Wow. So now you're down to 12,500. 20 years later, you lost again. Half.
Oh, my gosh.
Jeez.
Wow.
And when you think about loss, anytime you have a disease that comes in, it takes out your young and it takes out the old. Well, in an indigenous community, your young is your future, your old is your history. Uh-huh. So we lost a lot because of smallpox.
All right, now you're gonna do this in about 2 or 3 minutes now.
Okay.
We want to get up to current things. I mean, let me set the stage here a little bit. But gosh darn, how about back in the 80s, the 1980s, mm-hmm. the Catawba Indian Nation sued basically York County, is what it boils down to, all the property owners in York County, in a very massive lawsuit. The complaint had to be about 2 feet thick. Anybody I knew, including me, was part of that lawsuit because you all wanted to have a reservation. You wanted to have an area that was yours. Long story short, your predecessor, Gilbert Blue,
yes,
and former Congressman John Spratt, two very level-headed guys, over a long period of time, were able to work out an agreement,
yes,
that everybody signed off on. The state of South Carolina, the federal government, the Catawbas, everybody.
Yep.
It was a $50 million deal, as it boiled down. You got the land. The money came from different sources. And part of that deal was that you were allowed to have high-stakes bingo. Not gambling, but bingo.
Yep.
You set up a high-stakes bingo place out here on Cherry Road. It was going pretty well. And then the state of South Carolina got into the lottery business.
Yep.
And high-stakes bingo went right down And you tried a couple of times to revive it, but it didn't work. Meanwhile, you're still trying to get permission from the powers to be to set up a full-scale gambling operation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to let you pick it up from there because you finally found a way to do this. Remember, we only have 2 or 3 minutes here, so go ahead.
The state of South Carolina, twice Catawba went to the South Carolina Supreme Court over its right to game. Twice, South Carolina Supreme Court said no. You can only have what the South Carolina legislators have agreed to. So with that, we turn to the settlement agreement itself. The settlement agreement gave us 6 counties in North Carolina because we gave up our treaty and land rights in that 1993 settlement agreement. With those 6 counties, it says these lands will be treated as any other indigenous lands. So that's when we started looking into gaming in North Carolina. So, we started in Mecklenburg County. They looked at it. They were a little afraid of it. We went to Gaston County. They were a little cautious. We went to Cleveland County, and they said, I like this. Because what happened in Cleveland County, in a lot of counties in North and South Carolina, when the textile industry left, nothing came in to replace it. So, what they saw and what we see, Catawba, is we can be an economic catalyst for that region.
You think?
and with that economic catalyst, those counties will rebuild themselves.
Okay, so you find land that you can acquire.
Yes.
From whoever. How many acres did you acquire?
We acquired 17 acres, 16.57 to be exact.
16. Why not? I mean, could you not get any more than 16 acres?
Well, this is what, because of the unsureness of it, the individual who had the property was willing to risk selling 17 to be put into trust to move forward.
Okay.
So.
You got an option to buy more?
Yes.
Okay, good. So then you go through the process of applying, doing all the stuff that has to be done.
Having the land placed in the trust.
Right. That's done.
It met the rigorous research. It was done by the Department of Interior.
Okay.
It followed all the rules, did everything.
Right.
And they said yes.
They said yes.
And this was in March of 2020.
All right. Then you get another lawsuit from your brethren in the Cherokee Nation, which has a big gambling operation up in the mountains.
Actually, they have two.
Two gambling operations up in the mountains. And obviously, they don't want you to, quote, cut them off at the pass, because you'll be very close to the metropolitan area, making it much easier for somebody who wants to gamble. But
yes.
So they go to court, they lose.
And they do lose.
But they've appealed again.
And they're entitled to appeal.
Right.
They have that right. But Manning, I think what I'd like to share with your audience is, we were asked by the courts to stop construction and allow the courts to actually dive into this. And we did. We adhered to the judge's request, and we stopped construction for almost 4 months. And when he made his ruling to move forward with the case, he said there's nothing here to actually stop them from going forward. So we moved forward. The judge then came back, heard oral arguments. We're during COVID, so everything is done.
Zoom!
And he comes back and he says, Catawba is entitled. They did not take any shortcuts. They actually follow the rules, and they're entitled to game. So
we started construction again. And even though the appeal's underway, you're still going ahead.
We still are moving forward. What we like about this project is there has to be something called a approval by the National Indian Gaming Commission. So that, because of COVID, has slowed down the review process. So what we decided to do was take a step back. Instead of building a 1,300 machine facility, we are going with a temporary facility of 500 machines. And that does two things. One, it reassures the community that we are serious about this. What it held us up was the government. It wasn't us. So if we're going to get this 500 machine facility open, it's going to put jobs in that area. And it also assures the banks and the government that we are serious about this. So,
all right. So you've got your plan all together for you've already started.
Yes.
And when's the 500 machine facility supposed to open up?
Oh man, this is a good part.
Oh good.
If everything goes as we have planned, we will do a ribbon cutting on July 1st.
This year?
This year.
No kidding.
No.
Wow. You gonna invite me so I can come up?
Sure, man. I'll invite you.
All right. I hope it's air conditioned.
And yes, it is.
I mean, this is a building. I mean, we're not putting these machines under tents.
They're not. They're not in a sprung structure. They are in a what they call mobile units.
Okay.
So we plan to run this for about a year, as we get the paperwork straightened out on the 60,000 square foot building.
Okay.
And then we'll start there. So
the 60,000 square foot building would take you a while to build that.
Probably a year.
About a year. All right. Now, let's talk about the economic impact. You'll hire, let's just say, for the 500 machine operation,
247 people.
247 people. And when you get to the big time of 1,300 machines, you'll have how many people, you think?
Well, once we hit 1,300 machines, our goal is to hit 5,000 machines. And that right there will happen, if things stay on track, within 7 years. In 7 years, when we are completely built out, what you will have is a space that is going to employ 3,000 plus people, plus 1,000 in outside of the facility.
Yeah, but you're talking about vendors that are going to support
it. Exactly.
People who bring in food, and people who bring in drink, and people who bring towels and what have you. Now, your 60,000 square foot facility, is it going to be like a hotel as well?
It will not be a hotel. As we work our way, we will add a hotel.
That'll be later. We need some more land.
Yes.
Now, when you hire people up there, mm-hmm. are you giving preference to members of the Catawba Indian Nation? Can you do that?
And actually, you can.
You can.
Yes.
So they will get preference.
Yes.
All right. But go ahead.
They get indigenous preference, but only if they're qualified.
Bingo.
So that is the key word. So it is, you don't just hire people because they're indigenous. Yeah. You hire them because they have the same qualifications as anybody else.
Amen, brother. So that's quite a story. Now, who is running this thing for you? Because gaming is you got to know what you're doing, or you're going to lose all the bank's money.
Well, as we have spent a lot of time in this endeavor, trying to reach this, what we have discovered was there was a lot of people who wanted to partner up with us.
Imagine that.
And the other part of that was some of them weren't going to be good partners.
Imagine that.
So we were very fortunate to come across a group called Delaware North out of Buffalo, New York. And they have been in the gaming business. They will be our consultants as we open our 500 machine facility.
Right. Now, you keep saying machines. Mm-hmm. Are we going to get the blackjack tables and roulette
only
tables?
Only when we go to the
big time.
Well, when we go to the 1300 right. machine facility.
And we'll actually be able to go play some blackjack.
Yes.
Okay. You know how bad I am at blackjack? Not very good.
How good are you?
I'm also just giving my money before I sit down at the table. Oh, it's very interesting. Very interesting. All right, we got to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. All right, fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. The magical way we do it, right here in the white letters, not hot, top at all, slice, 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 garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to andersongriggs.com.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410-646.
Wow, have things changed over the last year? This is Charlie Ruffalo. We're thankful for all your support through this situation, but we've come to a crossroad. Starting immediately, we will close on Sundays. This will allow us time to perform necessary maintenance and deep cleaning, and also give us time to prepare for the week to come. But we're still willing to do caterings for special events on Sundays. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause, but remember, we're still open Monday to Saturday. So come enjoy the best subs and salads in town. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter.
A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Very pleased to have with us the chief of the Catawba Indian Nation, Mr. Bill Harris. And he has got his hands full. They're about ready to open a, we'll call it a temporary.
It is temporary.
500 machine gambling facility.
Yes.
Up in Kings Mountain, which is very easy to get to from here. It's right along, is this piece of property right along 85?
It's right along 85. Is it exit 5?
Exit 5. All right. Now,
it doesn't get any better.
It doesn't get any better than this. How does it work? Because I have no idea. Since you are a sovereign nation,
mm-hmm.
and you're in the, this is your business enterprise,
mm-hmm.
do you all have to pay taxes?
We do not actually have to pay taxes. This is what happens with what we call partnerships.
Negotiation.
You know, it's going to be tough for any community to just say, okay, we'll let you come in. But we're going to have an impact on them. And that growth is going to impact them. So instead of a tax, we pay a fee in lieu of a tax.
They call it fee in lieu of taxes.
That's exactly what they do.
Right.
And it's to actually to allow the county not to take the hit, for us to be partners in this endeavor.
Good idea. Is that tied to somehow how it grows in terms
yes,
of? Okay.
It is.
All right. Now, just so people understand, and I know those who have consulting you, Delaware North, have told you that in a major metropolitan area like we are in here in the Charlotte region, how big could this thing get in terms of gross revenues?
There are several studies that have been done with that. Yeah. And Manning, this is what I do with economic studies. Always do the divide it by half. Because I always feel like, you know, when they do a study, people are so optimistic. If all the stars line up, and if this happens and this happens and this happens, then this is what you're going to end up with.
Okay.
But when you look at the market that is here for Catawba, do you know anything about the Seminole market in Tampa, Florida?
No, sir, I do not. No.
I would like for your listeners to actually look at Tampa.
Okay.
Because that right there will give you a better idea of what can happen with this project in Cleveland County.
That'll give you a number. All right. I'm not familiar with that one. I have a little familiarity with the one up in Connecticut, and I don't know what that tribe is up there.
Actually, you have two up there. You have the Mohegan and you have the Pequot.
Pequot was the one I'm
okay.
familiar.
Pequot overbuilt. Yeah, they hurt themselves. At one time.
Right.
They are now struggling to come back.
Right.
But the Pequot Nation, when they first opened theirs, man, they were the envy of everybody.
So now, I'm going to ask you this. You don't have to answer it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I mean, it's no secret that the Catawbas have struggled. I mean,
mm-hmm.
over a long period of time for a lot of reasons that we already went through. This is a big enterprise. This is a big project. I mean, this is millions and millions and millions of dollars to pull
yes.
all this together. Now, is Delaware North behind that as a partner in this to get you to point A and then you use revenues from what you're starting off with to help get you to the next level? How does this all work?
Actually, the way this works is in order for us to move into the introductory facility,
right?
Catawba took out a loan for the pre-launch facility. The temporary facility.
Right.
So we're going to manage it ourselves with help from others as we work our way into that introductory facility.
Okay. All right. Well, obviously anybody who is in the business of borrowing or lending money. Now, I got to ask you, did you get the money from the banks or from private investors?
Actually the money we have for the introductory facility.
Right.
I mean, for the pre-launch facility, we did get it from a bank.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Good for you. Good for you. So you've been a busy man. You've been a little bit everywhere.
Not just me. I mean, you know, the whole nation has been busy on this.
I was going to say, how many team members do you have in this thing?
Oh, my gosh. There's, you know, every time we turn around, we're saying, okay, we need to hire two more. So it's, you know, our employment level has grown.
Where are you now, employment-wise?
Probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 plus.
200 plus people mm-hmm. working on just this project or other things?
Other things as well.
But how many would you say are dedicated to this that you've had to hire and add on to get this thing going?
Probably about 150.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Whew. And as far as the, you know, once this thing is going and it's producing revenue for the Catawba Indian Nation, mm-hmm. what are your thoughts about those dollars and what do you want to see happen with those dollars?
Well, Manning, I think when you look at any community, you have to plan for the future.
Right.
You know, there are rainy days in everything. And if you don't plan for those rainy days, then you're going to run out.
Right.
So I think what I have learned, members of the executive committee have learned, is that there have been a lot of big mistakes made by indigenous communities when it came to gaming, because they really thought you could not spend that money. Well, what they discovered was you can. And when the bill comes due, if you don't have something to pay, then you're going to end up losing something.
So the first order of business is to squirrel away some money, is what you're telling me.
It's a plan for the future so that the future can plan for the next future.
Right. Do you get concerned that members of the Catawba Indian Nation, the tribal members themselves, may come knocking on the door and say, look, we want you to make a distribution to all the Catawba Indians?
And I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
I think what you have to do is plan for that as well. Because if all you were to do was to actually allow them to have services, then I don't think they're going to get the joy out of it that I'm going to get out of it from seeing the community grow.
Well, I would think the greatest thing, you referenced it earlier, would be to take interested members of the Catawba Indian Nation who are going to get a little bit of preferential treatment for hiring and mm-hmm. train them so they have a job and have a career.
And that's all in the detail. And then when we sign these agreements, it's all about a training program.
Wow.
So that what we know for the future is we're going to train Catawbas to be in those key positions.
And I would think Delaware North, I mean, this ain't their first rodeo. They've done this before.
And they have done this before.
So what happens between now and July 1st?
Let me see. I limit these kind of situations.
What are you trying to say? You've done fine. You did fine.
I will. I spend a lot of sleepless nights. The crazy part is, you know, worry doesn't solve a thing.
No. I mean, what is your biggest concern?
I mean, I think my biggest concern right now is that we won't hit the deadline and people will say, well, they failed.
Oh, come on.
So.
Well, anybody who builds anything knows doggone well. You say July 1st, I'm going to say August 1st. I mean, it's just the way it goes. Wait, and with the price of building materials the way they are now and labor?
Was that not a shocker?
Good God. Whoa. You know what? You've run out of time. Thank you for being here, Bill.
Oh,
we'll do it again.
As we will.
Always a pleasure to have you in front of the microphone. Chief Bill Harris, the chief of the Catawba Indian Nation, our guest today on our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Now, as we know here, Chief, we do fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. We're going to have our good, learned Dr. Scott Oliver come join us now. The magical way at the count of three, everybody. Are we ready? One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Not bad. We'll have to come back and do it again. That'll wrap up our show. Have a wonderful day. Bye.